Amen. There you go. We're recording, we're live, and it's wonderful to see so many people this morning. And you know, Dave always used to tell me, Ian, keep a message up your sleeve. And so when Dave phoned me, it was, I think, already deep in December, somewhere around the 15th. I thought, oh, great, I've got a message up my sleeve, ready for today. But guess what? God changed it. So we embarked on a fast with the other ministry that I'm involved with. And in that time period, the Lord said to me, not that message, I'll give you another one, which I didn't know till I think it was around about the 20th of December. I was still saying, Lord, you better just start showing me the way, showing me what to do. Now, in the past, this would be the time that you have a New Year's resolution message. Oh boy. And then there's a long list of things, and I don't think anybody can actually remember it. I don't remember many of the New Year's resolution messages. But I do feel that this is not a normal message, although it is for a new year, the year 2023. And there has been a huge amount of negative talk. This is going to be the worst year financially. This is going to be... All these things are being said out there. And so I do believe that once we've heard this message today, that we will have a new perspective, a new outlook on what we should do for 2023. I'm excited about it. And I've already started taking these principles and applying them in my daily walk. So I want to start off with, well, basically what happened is I said, Lord, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start with my favorite scripture. And I'm going to read it and declare it, and then you're going to tell me what to happen. Now, I'm sure there's lots of you guys out here that have also got favorite scriptures, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to start with Liz, because she's the crazy Greek. What is your favorite scripture of Pat?
God has given me a spirit of fear and love.
And a sound mind. Anybody else? Come.
All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And
amen.
I have come so that they have life and have it abundantly.
Abundantly. Another good scripture.
God so loved the world.
The world.
And he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
Whoever believes in him
will not perish but have everlasting life.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Seeking first the kingdom of God.
And he will add all these other things to you. So we see that we all have a favorite scripture. Now mine is, I only remember the latter part, because that was the important part. Hebrews 13, verse 5. But I'm going to read it to you out the message, because it expands it a little bit. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Every time I saw a guy riding with an AMG 63 Merc, I said, oh, how did he get that? I want one of those. And you know what? I had to get deliverance of that, because I was making that a God in my life. And that's why this has become my favorite scripture. But let's carry on. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assured us, and yet it comes, I will never let you down. I will never walk off. I will never, ever, ever leave you. Isn't that just amazing? But that's not what we're preaching about. I had to start somewhere. The rest of the scripture goes, can you boldly say, God is there ready to help? I'm fearless no matter what. Who and what can do anything towards me? Now, I normally stop there. And I said, okay, Lord, so what now? And he said, well, carry on. Read the rest of the chapter. So I started reading through the rest of the chapter. Then I got to Hebrews 13, verse 15, 5 verses later. And this just astounded me, because it jumped out at me, literally out of the book. You know those books that you open up and you get this pictorial jump out at you? That's the experience I had. So I'm going to read it again in the message. Through Christ then, let us offer up sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruits of our lips. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is the fruits of my lips? Which makes confession to his name. They are not the bloody sacrifices from the old covenant, but sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips. Now let me tell you something. That pictorial book, when I read this, jumped out to me. And I suddenly realized that this verse has the potential to change you for the rest of your life. If a person can understand what it's saying. And we're going to go through this morning to try and understand what it's saying. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this is a New Covenant thing, a New Testament thing. I wonder if it's like this in the Old Testament. So I did a word search. And I came across a scripture, Isaiah 57 verse 19. And it reads, I'll create praise on their lips. Wow! When the Holy Spirit wasn't even released yet, God says, I will create praise on their lips. Now listen to the next part of the verse. Perfect peace to those that are far and near, and I'll heal them, says the Lord. So it says here that through the praise of my lips, which God creates, I'll give you peace and I'll heal you. Now some translation says, I create the fruit of the lips, which is very much the same as what it says in Hebrews 13:15, the fruit of the lips. So, if God says, I create, what does the word create mean? Well, we got an idea, but I looked at the dictionary, and the dictionary says create means to form, to fashion, to mold, very similar like a potter would. Lump of clay, beautiful jar. That's what the word create means. And suddenly a song came up into my mind. Julie Andrews sang it in Edelweiss. To start at the very beginning is a very good place to start, ABC. You remember that song? So I said, okay, Lord, here it is, Genesis 1:1. So let's go there. And it says, in the beginning God created. Same word. The heaven and earth. And then it says in verse 2, the earth was void, without form. No form, empty. And there was no light in the deep. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And now this is getting exciting, I would say. And then the next verse, it says in Genesis 1:3, and God said, so that is the crux of this whole thing. The praise on our lips in Hebrew 13:15 is what we need to get grips of. Because God didn't create the earth like the potter with a lump of clay and formed it. He said with his mouth, let there be earth, let there be light. And there was light. So, what God says is, I'm listening to what you say, and I create, fashion, form, and mold the fruits of your lips. So what are you saying? I listen for that. Because that's the way I work. I created the earth by my lips. I said. And so, I will listen to what you say. So in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the verse says, God's eyes go to and fro over the earth to see who's after the heart of God, that he what? Might bless them. That is an incredible scripture. Because it means that God is actually attentive to the people here. And those people whose hearts are after God, those are the people that he will go and bless. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? So, how do we get God to work in your life? And as Dave says, I'm so glad you asked. How do you activate God's miracle power? So we, from time to time, we do need intervention in our lives. And then we come and it feels, who's ever had the experience when you pray, it feels like your prayers are bouncing back? I'm sure Lots of us have. And so the thing is what God is saying is I have linked my creative, miraculous power directly to the words that you say. So we'll get to that. We need to be able to heed what we say, because what we say is what not just God, and we'll come to that later, Satan also listens to. So let me tell you something. I'm convinced that Solomon understood this absolutely clearly, because he says in Proverbs 21 verse 23, people who are careful about what they say will save themselves from a lot of trouble. So you see that this can work two ways. We can say bad things, and we'll get to what we normally say, and that can get us into a trouble, or we can say things that God says, ooh, listen to that. And then God takes his creative, miraculous powers and sets it into those words. So we see in Deuteronomy 30:19 that Moses also understood this. Because he says, I call heaven and earth to record to this day against you that I've set before you life and death, two opposites, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now if you guys listen to the little things that Dave sends out, those podcasts of Derek Prince. Derek Prince says, if you see the word therefore, then you better look what it's there for. So let's have a look what it's there for. So in other words, the choice of life and death are by our words. We are in control. And it's by the words we so quickly speak. Either good, which is life, or death, which is the wrong things we say. And we've got to be so careful. So do you see what God is saying here? God is saying, I create whatever you keep speaking. So if you speak negative things, then that's what you're going to reap. God says in Galatians 6 verse 7, it says, I am not mocked. Whatever you sow with this mouth, you will reap. And we've got to be so careful of that. So I create and I form and I fashion, I mold everything that you constantly pray and confess for. We heard this morning that they fasted on two occasions. And what they said came to being. Whatever you dare to utter in life, I believe you can get. I remember some years back, I said to Dave, is it right that I could wish for a V8 car? You remember that, Dave? Is it, if I ride around with that, that's what I'm wishing for? And Dave said, no, not at all. If the Lord wants to bless you with it, you have it. Now, I've had several since then, because I like V8s. That's the end of the story. And the Lord blessed me with that. Now, if I had kept it in my heart and kept envying other people's cars that drive past, I would have never had it. But because I spoke it and I made it out there, the Lord blessed me with it. So whatever you dare to speak, I create. What you speak, good or bad. Now if we speak good and we keep holding to that confession, there's a verse for you. And that's in Hebrews 10 verse 23. It says we must hold on to the hope we have. What does the word say? If you don't have a vision, you'll perish. Vision is like hope. You can't hope on something that you haven't got a vision for. So we must hold on to the hope we have, never hesitating to what to tell people. Say it with your mouth. We can trust God that He will promise to do with us. There's a scripture that Paul says his promises are yes and amen. It's like taking the word and putting it down there and standing on it and say, his promises are yes and amen, and I can stand on those promises. Now that was a good place to say amen, and you missed it. We must speak and declare it into the heavenlies. Man has the power to speak. Now man created God to speak. And guess what? We're the only creation that can speak. No other the creation can speak. No, none of the animals can speak. And I know, darling, you're going to say, yes, a parrot. And let me tell you something. Her parrots talk like her, that it even fools me. And I've been with her for 41 years. They are so cunning with what they say and how they say it that you would think it's her. But you know what? That parrot can't take something from the heart and speak it out. It can only copy or mimic. And we don't want to be parrots in life. And so when we find something in the scripture that the Lord lays on our heart, and you believe it with the heart, and you then begin to speak it into the heavenlies, even no matter what you're experiencing at the time, maybe the surroundings around you is not all that great, but don't let that deter you. But you begin to speak it, just like God spoke the world into existence. I believe what the Bible says. Paul also understood this, because he says in Romans 3 verse 4, he says, "But let God be true and every man a liar. It is written that you might be justified by your sayings." That must sink in today. When I was preparing this, this sunk into me so, it's like a whole new revelation that was revealed to me again, if I can put it that way. And you will overcome when you are judged. So, I suddenly realized there's a problem with what we speak. Negative self-talk phrases. Have you ever heard of them? I'll give you a couple examples. I come home from work and I say to darling, "Oh, my feet are killing me." Okay. Wrong. Next one. Mike, this is for you. "These continued power outages are going to be the death of us." Darling's favorite. "I'm dying to go shopping." When I was in Midrand, I used to say, "I wish I didn't live here." So, you know, these are the wrong things we say. Another one. "Oh, I'm such an idiot." Oh, I'm so stupid. "I'm not good enough." Have you ever heard that? "Not good enough." My favorite is when you ask somebody to do something, they say, "Oh, I don't think I can." Stop, man. Stop. Just think. You can. That's what it should be. Those are the things that we should say. These negative self-talks come to you all the time. And Satan knows that. And he says, "Aha, look there, something for me to work on." And this is what happens. So we see, we're not the only creation that has to, well, we weren't, put it this way, creation that has power to talk and speak. God took the power of speech away from the serpent in the book of Genesis. Now suddenly, something dawned on me. When Satan came in the form of a serpent, the serpent could walk and talk. And I'm not kidding you, because it says so. I went and looked it up. It says in Genesis 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4, and it says, "The serpent said to the woman." Now, he can't say something to the woman if he can't talk. "You shall surely not die." So I thought, okay, this is actually quite interesting. Now, when God cursed the serpent, he took the power of speech away from that serpent, and he said, "You will be cursed, and on your belly you will now slither along." Okay? So it then dawned on me, so if a demon is going to talk, he has to do it through somebody. And he has no legal right to say anything except by putting it in your mind as a thought or a suggestion. And once it's there, we have the choice to listen to it or not. And what Dave always says, Resist him and he'll flee as in terror. And what else? Like a scalded cat, he says. So God took the speech away from serpent, but he did not take the speech away from us. Because the sin that was done there, I would have said, well, they're the ones that ate of the fruit, take their speech away as well. But yet God didn't. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is that right now, at this stage of your life, I turned 65 this year. I'm a composite of everything I've been saying up to now. So, the person in Jubair that you see was formed by my own words. And I feel that I've often said, Lord, I don't think I've reached my potential yet. And this little scripture in Hebrews 13:15 suddenly made me realize this, because I haven't been speaking my full potential. So change the words and you begin to change this year and the rest of your life. Not just this year, you make a turnaround for the rest of your life. If you want something different in your life, start changing what you're saying. Do the right confessions. Don't be hung by your own tongue. Okay? Change what you're saying. God gave you two ears, two eyes, and one mouth. Sure, aren't we glad that my wife's only got one mouth? Haven't I had enough trouble just out of that one mouth? No, I'm only teasing, sweetheart. But you know that James also understood this. And he says in James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire. He realized it can be an enemy. The tongue is a world of evil among our body parts. It pollutes the whole body and sets on fire the course of life. Do you see that? The tongue can set on fire and change the course of life. So that means that the destiny that you had is being changed by your words. And it's set on fire by hell itself. Now thank God that Matthew had a sense of humor. And I found it, because when I was searching scriptures about saying, I came across this and it really made me chuckle. Matthew says in 15:11, he says, it's not what people put in their mouth that makes them wrong. It's what comes out of their mouth that makes them wrong. But there's a truth to that. It's what we are saying that comes out of our mouth. And if we're saying the wrong things, then we will change the destiny and the course of our lives. So this brings us to the point, what are we saying to each other? Am I forced to shut my wife down? And about other people? So this begs the question, what should we be saying to others and ourselves? There should be a pattern. We should get into this lifestyle pattern of change, where we say things differently. And Paul in Ephesians 5:19, he gives us a bit of an example here. He says, addressing one another in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord, and yet it comes with your heart. So again, the parrot can't talk from its heart and verbalize it. Yeah, it says that we should speak from the heart. So what does Solomon warn us against? For as a man thinketh, so in his heart, so is he. So we need to make sure that our deposit that we have in our hearts is based on the Word of God. So that as a man thinketh, so is he. So words can change the atmosphere around us. We saw that in Isaiah 57:19 and in Hebrews 13:15. And It's the sacrifice. So it says sacrifice. Now, all of us know sacrifice is something that's not easy. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. It would be called something else. I don't know what. But the sacrifice of praise and the fruits of our lips. Saying the right things is what's going to bring the change. You know, we can sit there and mope and say, oh Lord, where are you? Instead of getting up and making a change by with what we're speaking. What's the words we continually speak? Not that we're up one day and down the next day and then we're speaking negatively. And James also talks about being like the waves of the sea tossed backwards and forwards. You don't have any consistency in your life. But that we are in an ongoing state of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. So, you would say, yes, but the circumstances. I understand that. We are in bad circumstances, and that's why Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians in verse 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, be thankful in all circumstances. So at the moment, we're in this circumstance that there's load shedding all the time. So we've got to find something to be thankful about. This is what God wants in your life, in union with Christ Jesus. So in other words, say, the Lord, I'm under persecution, but I know with your strength and your power, I'll be able to get this through. I suddenly realized, how long have I not wasted by not putting the seeds of right words out there? I could have maybe have reached my destiny already if somebody just took the time to show me this many years ago. And I suddenly realized that I could have been in a whole different place if I just understood that principle a lot better. So we see that Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but with the renewing of the mind, that he may see what is good and pure for you, that you may apply it through Christ. So now we're back at King David in Psalms. And Psalm 37 verse 23, he says this, which is profound. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he will delight in his way. Now, in the King James, and he will delight in his way, that he is in a lower case. So I wondered, is it say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the good man, he, lowercase, will delight in his way? Or is it he, God, will delight in his way? So I went to 30 different translations, and I can truly say to you that, and reading the commentary, that most of them refer to the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and then he, Lord, he the God, he the Lord, sees that and delights in his way, the man. So can you see that when the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, God gets excited on behalf of us. So isn't that even more the reason that we would do that? Because it delights God. So what should we be saying? And I'm going to give you some of it. I praise you that you're leading and ordering my steps as a righteous man, Lord. And God, I praise that you will supply every need of ours according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And that you're setting up resources for me for the rest of the year. I might have some surprises down the road that I don't know, Lord. But I thank you that I'm highly favored. And I'm the head and I'm not the tail. And I'll be on top and not at the bottom. And I thank you that I'm blessed. I am blessed. Thank you, Lord. And here's a promise that's coming next. In Psalm 138 verse 8. It reads, the Lord will complete what is purposed for me. So if I can speak in that manner, then the Lord will complete what is purposed for me. Lord, your gracious love is eternal. Do not abandon your personal work in me. That should be our prayer. Father, take these words that I have and complete the purpose that you have for me, and do not abandon me. I praise you that you've begun a good works in my family. We're going through some hardships now. May his favor be upon all of us. Amen. For 1,000 generations, it says somewhere in the Old Testament, on your family and their children, and Okela, their children's children.
Amen.
May his presence go before you, beside you, behind you, ahead of you, all around you. There's a song, Elevation Worship, that's called The Blessing. Go and find it and listen to it and sing with it, because it declares justice. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm doing through what I'm saying and praising and with the fruit of my lips, I'm not just sitting there and let life hit me and the Satan buffeting me. Paul said Satan is buffeting me. Life, it's life or death. And in what you speak. We've heard about the end times coming and what's going to happen in the tribulation. Lord, I don't want to be part of that. So we're back at Solomon's wise words in verse 18:21, and he says the tongue can speak words that bring life or death. There it is. Okay? Those who love to talk it must be ready to accept what it brings. This is something that we have to get hold of. And we have to make, in Afrikaans they say, a dark werklige poging. We must make a decision that we're going to do that. So, just one or two examples, we're nearly there. Mark 11 verse 23 says, I tell you with certainty, so in other words, this is true. I tell you with certainty, if anybody says to this mountain, be lifted and thrown into the sea, and he doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will happen and done for him. So in other words, talk to the mountain that we're facing this year. It's the first service this year, which means that there's still enough time for us to do this. And right in the very beginning, I said if we can grab this concept, we will be able to see this year change. And if I could put a message, it's a bit late, but if I could put a title to this message, it would be change your words and change your year. So that should be a motto. Change your words and change your year. What are we saying to our children? What are we saying about work that we don't have? What are we saying about the economy? What are we saying about our businesses that you probably won't make it? What are we saying about Eskom? Oh Lord, don't get us started. Stop saying these things. He's a miracle mountain moving God. He can move the mountain of cancer. We spoke about Doug this morning. He can move the mountain of COVID that's looming in China. He can move the mountain of financial disaster. Need I go on? We have to give God words that he can work with. He's a word speaking God and creates with words. So if we don't give him words, then he can't do anything for us. Joel 3:10 says, the latter part, the first part talks about beating plowshares or something, but Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. So say it with me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let's do it again. Let the weak say, I am strong. Good. We just put seed out there now. And that seed says, I'm not going to quit because I'm strong. And I'm not going back. I'm strong. And what we just said now, God can form a new 2023 for us. And that's just absolutely amazing to think that I can go in this year with God as a partner. Amen. My marriage is strong. I hope so. My faith is strong. We've been together for 41 years. My home is strong. My kids are clever. I don't care what I'm feeling right now, or what I'm sensing, or what my emotions tell me, because some people are driven by emotions. I believe this report. Which report do you believe? Man, I'm preaching myself happy. Let me tell you something. Words can change your life. Now, I want to have a look at some examples in the Bible. Quickly, touch one or two or three of them. And the first one is the woman with the issue of blood. We all know that story. She had an issue of blood, spent all her money. She couldn't get healing. There was a negative connotation, because under the Jewish faith, if you had a flow of blood, you were deemed unclean and you could be stoned to death, which is a terrible thought. And she was getting, in Afrikaans, raad op. I don't know what to do anymore. And then she heard Jesus is coming. She says, oh man, if I can get to Jesus, he can heal me. But then she said, she hadn't said yet. Then she thought, but I could be stoned. And I think this must have gone backwards and forwards in her mind. And we pick that story up in Mark 5:28. And this is so profound. For she said to herself, Darlene always says, myself, if I can only touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. So we see that the miracle didn't start. She could have gone backwards and forwards in her mind until she got out there and said, if I touch but his garment, I can be made whole. And God was sitting waiting for somebody to say. And when she said it, he allowed Jesus to sense that, even with all the people around him. Everybody pushing and touching him, because he stopped and said, who touched me? Because there was only one person that said that day. All the others were there for the hype. She was there to receive something, and she was the only one that says, if I can only touch the garment. And so God heard those words and he changed it, and she was healed. David and Goliath, very well known stories. David's preached about it before. But there's something that we missed. I'm sorry, Dave. So I try to find out how old David was. Okay, the Bible doesn't actually give us a clear indication. But if you were 20, and if you read somewhere in Moses' writings, if you were the age of 20, you were eligible to go and fight in war. And David wasn't there, so it means he was younger than 20, which puts him 17, 19, would you guys agree? Somewhere around there. His brothers weren't happy that he was there. He says, what are you doing here? He brought them cheese and bread, and he said, what are you doing here? Why don't you go and tend to the few sheep you have? In other words, let us manna do the thing. But the us manna weren't doing the thing, unfortunately, because David heard something that suddenly changed in him. And we're going to pick that story up in 1 Samuel 17:16. And the devil also picked up on these things. The Philistine, that's Goliath now, came out every morning and every evening fully dressed in his armor, and stood before the Israelite army, and Goliath insulted Israel, and this is for 40 days. So for 40 days, he came out there, dressed, ready to fight, and insulted them. Then he went back. In the evening he came out. Same story. So the devil knows that if you can throw this in your face and get somebody to say something to you, that it can put the living fear in you, which it did, because everybody was huddling back. Now it says Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else, so why didn't he go and face the giant? He was a lot bigger than David. In fact, they say, the word says his armor hung on him, because they wanted to send him out in Saul's armor. So David was insulting Israel for 40 days. He was talking, the Americans say, talking trash to them, getting in their head. And then David suddenly had enough and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now, why do you think he used the word uncircumcised Philistine? Did it even matter at that point? But it did matter. Let me tell you that. Because in the Jewish culture, when a Jewish boy is 8 years old, he gets circumcised, and that is a covenant between God and that particular person. And David knew this. He was a worshipper. He knew this because he said, "My God will protect me." And he understood this. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 17:45, and then David said to this Philistine, "This day the Lord will give me in your hand." But he did what? He said, even though he had 5 stones in his sling, which I often thought, how did he know what he was going to do with them? But he said. Now, once David started saying these things, at the same time, God could kick into action and help him fight that same God that helped him fight a lion when he was still younger than that. Help him overcome a bear and kill a bear when he was still younger than that. That same God was ready to deliver Goliath to David. Now, David had experience in this, because this is how he operated. And God was waiting for that, for him to say. David couldn't do it in his own strength. The word says that Goliath was trained in the art of war from a young lad. So there was no chance to stand up in war tactics or war game. The next one is in the New Testament. And she reminds me of somebody. We'll see if it comes out. She was a Syro-Phoenician by birth, which I went and looked it up because I didn't know what a Syro-Phoenician was. But it's apparently part of the Greeks, Liz. So in Mark 7:26, now the woman was a Gentile, and we know what Jews thought about Gentiles, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged Jesus to cast out the demon out of her daughter. Very much what you were talking about this morning. And this is what Jesus answered to her: "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Whoa. Okay. So what Jesus was saying is, my time right now is for the Jews, and my ministry is for the Jews. I can't take the food and give it to the dogs. But listen to what comes up next in verse 28. And she said, she spoke back, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table of the children eat their crumbs." And this got Jesus to look up and say, "Because you have said," and we skip that in the story, "because you have said," the demon left her daughters. So we, because you have done what you've done, that youngster is going to have his destiny changed. Amen. Do we all agree? Yes. So we see it because of what she said, Jesus told that her daughter would be free. Now there's three voices that we hear. The voice from the pit of hell, that's, you can compare it to the voice of Goliath. And it says, "Disease, you are dying, probably cancer, it's fatal, and it's speaking to you all the time. In the morning, in the evening, for 40 days and 40 nights. That sounds like something that I heard in the New Testament Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when the devil tempted him, Jesus said, "It is written." I don't know where that came from, but I had a guy that worked for me. He was a Kosa guy. Incredible welder. In fact, he welded your gates, King. Do you recall that? But King had a problem. He just drank and drank and drank. And one day I sat King down and I said, "King, what is the problem with you?" And he says, "Oh, Mr. Ian, think it over." And I thought, what is this? I've never heard this. I said to him, "Just explain to me," and I finally got it out for him. He's in trouble. He feels that he's downtrodden. He feels these things, and then these words come to him all the time, and they come to him over and over, and then when he falls asleep, he wakes up, they're there again. And the only way he could get rid of them was to drink, so he drank every day because they were there every day. Now, we don't want to be part of that lifestyle. Not at all. Then there's the second voice. The voice of God. His word. Which is healing. Health. Speaking of peace. Speaking of joy. Speaking of acceptance. Speaking of repentance. Speaking of grace. And he's speaking of salvation. And he wants you to succeed. That's the voice of God. Then there's a third voice. Who knows what that voice is? Your own. Absolutely. Your own voice. So how do we know that God hears our voice? Cliche, do you know God hears your voice? What scripture have you got? I also thought about that. And then there's the scripture in Daniel where Daniel prayed. And when the angel came there 21 days later, Daniel says, "And? What took you so long?" He says, "Your words were heard from the first day that you prayed." Okay, and then there's another scripture that I found. Can you believe it? Thank good for the power of computers and search functions. It's in Malachi. Yes, Malachi. Malachi is not just there for tithes and offering. Malachi 2:17. And it says, "Have you wearied the Lord with your words?" So that means the Lord must hear them. "But you say, how have I wearied him?" Okay? I wonder after COVID how we wearied the Lord with our words. I wonder after every load shedding how we weary the Lord with our words. What negative things are we saying when we get into particular circumstances that is wearing wearing God down with our words? But there was an incident in the Bible that is profound, and that's the Shunammite woman, very long word. And I'm going to quickly relate the story to you. Elijah went to Shunem, the town, and she was a very prominent woman there, and she asked him to come and eat with him. And this happened frequently, because the word says, if you read the story in Kings, that she eventually built a room on top of her house, and she said, a bed and a table and a lampstand. So that meant he stayed, because otherwise he wouldn't have a lampstand. And so Elisha said to Gehazi, "This woman's very generous to us. I wonder if we can help her." And Gehazi said, "Yes, she needs a child. She doesn't have a child." So I was wondering, who's the prophet here? But nevertheless, Elisha prophesied to her, and she answered him and says, "Man of God, don't toy with me, please." And he says, "This will be true." And she got a child. The child grew up at the age of about 6. He went with the father to go and do reaping in the land. And he got sick. They took him back to this Shunammite woman. And he cried with pain in his head. I believe it was sunstroke. But it was so bad that the child died. Now, she sent immediately to the husband and said, "Please send a donkey, I need to go on a journey." And he says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Don't worry about it." Like some women can be. So She gets onto the donkey with this dead child. Now she's off to Elisha. And in the distance, he sees her. And we pick that story up there in 2 Kings 6, verse 24. It's 26. And he says to Gehazi, Gehazi was like the real Okiyo, because I've heard about this Gehazi many times in the Bible. Please run to her to meet her and say, are you all right? And she said, all is well. Is your husband all right? And she said, all is well. And then he says, is your child all right? And she answered, everything is all right. Now most people would have cracked there and said, no, he's died. It's not well. What do you think? But she didn't. So watch the power in the statement that she said, all is well. She lost her child. That was a promise of God, and she's still saying, all is well. Now I'm telling you, nothing can separate us from the love of God. All is well. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast, because all is well. It's got to come from my lips. I must sense it in my heart, and I must allow it to go out my mouth. When the rapture takes place, I'm going to be caught up in the sky. Because I have said and declared this, Christ that lives in me, the hope of glory. And he is when he's in me, all is well. Now I hope that I've managed to be able to take this importance of Hebrews 13:15 and convey it to you in a sense. And you know, even through this time that I was preparing, I suddenly realized there is a lot of things in my life that I wasn't saying that was correct. And I had to go down on my knees and say, Father, forgive me for the wrong things I've said. And help me from this day to be able to say the right things. Now, we're going to go into worship now. We haven't had a chance to set up. But if the Lord speaks to you, and if the Lord convicts you, and you feel that you need to pray with somebody. And there's a particular song, the last song, which is, the song is called I Still Believe. And it's an incredible song, and it captures the essence of what has been said here today. And if you feel that you need to speak to somebody, come speak to me, Dave. In fact, any of the leaders here will gladly pray with you. If you need to repent of saying wrong words. Amen. Thank you, Okela.
Thank you, Ian. You just...